It's the Congressional Corner with Sean Patrick Maloney, and he is, of course, a Democrat from New York's 18th District, in office since 2013. We'll go rapid fire, but you don't have to. I will. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on questions like I'm doing right now. The question is the end of DACA as we know it.
Oh, unnecessary and divisive and just foolish and stupid and hurtful. There are so many ways we could work together on immigration. There's so much work to do. It's a gratuitous step. It's one more thing to divide our country. You're talking about 600,000 to 800,000 children, young adults who were brought here no fault of their own, who overwhelmingly now have paid a fee, passed a criminal background check, signed up, followed the rules as we laid them down. And now we're going to pull the rug out from under them. It's outrageous. We should pass the DREAM Act immediately in Congress. The president, by the way, could have sent up a bill if he really wanted to do something positive.
Great point.
He's throwing more red meat to his base. And it comes on the heels of his outrageous comments after Charlottesville, of the Sheriff Joe Arpaio pardon, and now this. I mean, it is just more evidence that the president, fundamentally is abdicating both the opportunity and responsibility to bring the country together and to lead.
So this is one more example of what we could call base-ism playing to the base?
Yeah, look, I guess you could call it that. I'm starting to think the guy believes this stuff. I mean, I'm not sure why we shouldn't just think he believes it. He's going out of his way to divide us and to victimize people. I mean, look at what he's done to go after transgender people who are serving our country, putting their lives on the line in the military right now. These kinds of actions form a pattern. And as the saying goes, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them.
Yeah, a very good point. So it goes to Congress. And now we get to the Speaker. Because I, with all due respect for you, for all the Democrats, the House is a bit of an oligarchy, right? With one guy sitting up at the top, if he says we're not going to take this up or we're not going to do it, it doesn't get done, right?
Well, look at the DREAM Act. I mean, there are probably 300 votes. You need 218. He could pass that thing this morning. So Paul Ryan is responsible for it not happening. So you're
exactly
right. Now there is a wrinkle on that, Alan, which is that if you're trying to count to 218 out of only Republicans and you only have 241 Republicans, then you let 23 of your own members, call them the Freedom Caucus, the extreme right guys, lead you around by the nose. And that is the problem Paul Ryan has not tackled, is that he is letting the tail wag the dog. And so while he is in charge, if he can't count to 218 reliably, then he's going to let the holders of that balance run the show. And that's why you've seen everything get dragged way over to this unreasonable stuff on the right wing, when a bunch of us want to work together across the aisle to get things done.
So I want to go right back to that last sentence you said. So what's the problem? The idea of working together is so reprehensible to the Republicans that they won't take the Democrats' outstretched hand and say, we can pass this thing tomorrow. They just won't do it.
Well, look, I mean, here's, and this is a bit in the weeds, but I think it's absolutely critical that people understand this. No bill can be considered on the floor of the House without a rule vote, and that requires a majority. If you do that with only Republicans, then 23 defectors from a rule vote in your own party stop everything. By the way, that is true when they move to vacate the chair and vote for Speaker. So the Speaker literally will not be in power unless he can get 218 of his own members, and there's only 241. So the fundamental dilemma he has is on a Speaker vote, on a rule vote, both of which are necessary to proceed with anything. He can't reliably count to 218 without catering to the right-wing Freedom Caucus. Therefore, he either gets led around by the nose by those guys, which is the movie we've been watching for 3 or 4 years now, or he can start working with a handful of Democrats who would be willing for things like the DREAM Act or infrastructure or tax reform or the Equality Act or a bunch of other common sense things for which there is a lot of support in the House. We would be willing to work across the aisle to create a stable coalition in the middle to do what most Americans want, which is progress, even if it's not perfect for one political party or the other. But that takes political courage. And so far, the speaker has not done that.
I wanted to ask you something from my old political science-y days, teaching this stuff. What about a discharge petition in this case? You know,
great point. Yes.
Yeah.
Great point. I've been making this argument all morning. So for folks who don't know what we're talking about,
yes, exactly.
there is a kind of arcane procedural device in the House called a discharge petition. And it is just that. It's a petition, and members of Congress sign it. And if you can get to 218, which is a majority of the House, then whatever the petition relates to, and it's a bill typically, is automatically discharged from committee and brought to the floor of the House for a vote. And we did this to reauthorize the Export-Import Bank. I believe it was the second or third time it's been done since the 1930s. So here's the point. Leadership hates it. The Republican leadership hates it because when you think about it, they're essentially losing control of the
Sure.
House. But the reality is they don't really have it now because they're getting led around by the Freedom Caucus. And so you see, for example, Mike Kaufman saying he would support a discharge petition for a version of the DREAM Act, which is not the right way to go. But the point is you're seeing some of those rumblings. And by the way, it's the right question to ask every one of these Republicans who say they support things like the DREAM Act. The right question is to say, then sign a discharge petition for it, and it will have to get a vote, because right now the votes are there in the House. That's the insight people need to understand.
I don't want to have too much fun with this, and I am having fun.
We are in a political seminar right now.
Right,
boy.
But back in the day when I was an intern there and working for a New Jersey congressman, the question was, and he was the leader in getting that back, out of there. What happened is they had to sign a discharge petition, but you're not allowed to know who signed the discharge petition until they get to 218. And then you got to rely on the speaker to tell the truth. So what they did is they sent people up there, they memorized the names on the petition, and they leaked it to the New York Times. So the guys who said they signed, who didn't sign, would be held responsible. How's that for inside baseball?
That is inside baseball. I didn't even know that, Alan. I've learned something this morning.
There you go. And I'm so sorry, because I'm in great deference to your much superior knowledge on this thing. So in the end, will DACA prove to be successful as a concept? Because clear majority of Americans want it to, even though it may run contrary to the so-called Bannon base.
Yes, but I do think this is a moral issue, and it is one of those times when folks listening really need to understand. If you say you support things like 600,000 to 800,000 kids, young people who are here who have not done anything wrong, who've been brought here through no fault of their own, who've passed criminal background checks, who've paid a fee, who've registered for this program, who are working right now as nurses and in our military and as relief workers and as young professionals who are adding to our economy. If you believe in that, then you have got to stand up and make your voice heard, and you have to talk to members of Congress, particularly in the other political party, the Republican Party, who can do something to stop what the president is doing. Unfortunately, we have a president of the United States who has shown a willingness to open up some very ugly doors and some very ugly forces, whether it's the comments after Charlottesville, victimizing transgender members of our military, pardoning a racist who's convicted of federal crimes, Sheriff Arpaio in Arizona. I mean, there is a record now of real actions that do violence to the basic notion that we can all do this together, that we can come together as a country and go forward, that we don't have to pit one another against ourselves in some zero-sum game. And I'm as concerned as I've ever been that if we keep driving in these wedges into the American public, we are going to stop being a community of people who see ourselves as one family, ultimately. And so the problem is that ordinary citizens have to get in the game on things like this. It can't just be one more thing. And here's the point. We are wasting time when we should be passing infrastructure bills, when we should be reforming our tax code, creating jobs for folks, improving the lives of all those hurt by Harvey and soon Hurricane Irma. And we have real work to do here. We have to pass a budget. We have to worry about the debt ceiling. We don't have time for this nonsense where we invent these divisive, whipped up controversies that appeal to one political base or the other. I'm tired of this clickbait politics that is seeking to, maximize some short-term advantage on talk radio or cable news. We need to act like adults again in this country, and some of us ought to be responsible enough to lead.
It's always wonderful to talk to Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District. He's been in office since 2013. Sean, when we come back the next time, let's talk about Robert E. Lee.
Okay. Thank you, Alan.